You know, before I get started, I want to thank everyone doing service at this meeting. The host, the co-host, keeping this meeting safe. And in my mind, if you're at this meeting, you're doing service because you're letting me and everyone else know that we're not alone in this disease. So thanks to everyone who's here. I'd also like to extend an extra warm welcome to anyone who's new to this meeting, struggling, or just coming back. For the newcomer, I hope you feel as welcome at this meeting as I did at my first OA meeting, which was just 19 months ago. So my name is Catherine, and I'm a very grateful, raging, anorexic, bulimic, and compulsive overeater. My home group is the 7:15 a.m. daily New York City online morning meeting. It's a great meeting. And like I said, it's 7 days a week, and there are close to 200 or more people there. I started counting days there during the pandemic, and that's where my path to recovery began and my abstinence. I also found a sponsor by going to that meeting and, like I said, started my journey. So when I came to my first OA meeting just less than 2 years ago and heard people suggest that they were grateful to be compulsive overeaters, it really gave me pause. I actually thought it sounded somewhat absurd because I thought, really, grateful to be an overeater, grateful to have an eating disorder. Yet here I am 19 months later, and I can say with complete conviction that I am extremely grateful. And I'm truly grateful because my disordered eating led me to OA, to the 12 steps, and paved a path for me to connect to a power greater than myself. And had it not been for my eating disorder, my anorexia, my bulimia, my compulsive overeating, I'm completely confident I wouldn't have the amazing spiritual connection I have today, nor would I have 19 months of abstinence from the binge eating, the sneak eating, the over and under exercising, the years of anorexia, the night eating, the misery. I did incredibly odd things with food, and, you know, to get more food, to get rid of the food that I ate, to sneak food, I stole, I cheated, I lied, all of it. And I was carrying so much shame in a big, huge backpack for close to four decades. And that very, very big backpack of shame has been lifted thanks to OA, the 12 steps, and all of you, my fellows. So thank you. You know, rather than spending my time describing the perils of my disease and what life was like when I was in the food, you know, I really try to focus on my strength and hope as the bigger part of my story. But I will tell you that when I first came into program, I was at an all-time low, which is really bad because I've hit some really low lows. I couldn't stop eating. You know, and that was new for me because my disease originally manifested. I went on my first diet freshman year of college, and it you know, catapulted me into full-blown anorexia. And but back to when I was at my lowest of lows, it was at the beginning of the pandemic, and my kids and husband were all at home. My kids were remote learning. My husband, who typically travels, was home, and we were living in Brooklyn, and I couldn't stop eating. I would wake up in the morning, and I started eating, and I didn't stop putting things in my mouth until I went to bed. And I couldn't manage the secret. You know, I had all these people around. And so I resorted going to like bodegas and pizza places. And, you know, living in the city, it's easy. And I never used my car. All of a sudden, I started using my car, and I was going to drive-thrus, and I was eating in my car. And, you know, I was really on a first name basis with like several of the fast food places. You know, when I went through years of anorexia, I had never even been to any of these places. So now I was like totally new. And I was, like I said, I couldn't stop eating. You know, and it was a really sad state of affairs. And we read about in the big book, you're at that jumping off point, like the food isn't serving you anymore. Your addiction isn't serving you, but you can't stop. And that's where I was, the jumping off point. And, you know, for so many years, I was so extremely focused on figuring out what went wrong and why I had this problem with food. And, you know, I'm really fortunate to have come to realize that that doesn't really matter moving forward. I was molested as a child, my parents, eating disorder in the family, genetics, you know, the fact that my brother called me fat and ugly every day, you know, who knows, but, you know, realizing that, you know, that you know, why I have this eating disorder, you know, putting that behind me was huge as a part of my recovery. And what also is really important that very early on coming to OA, I was able to realize that I have an eating disorder. It's a disease and it's never going away. It's forever a part of me. And no matter what I do, you know, I can go to therapists from coast to coast, acupuncture, hypnotism, read any book I want. It's never going away. I'm powerless over this eating disorder. And a lot of us like to say we're powerless, but we're not helpless. And that's a blessing. But for me, like there's a choice. Like I can choose to live in the eating disorder and woe is me, poor me. I have this eating disorder, tip my toe in the self-pity, eat all the time, you know, be anorexic, bulimic, you know, and live like that, you know, and, die prematurely, sabotage relationships, have a really hard life, or I can live with the disease and have a spiritual connection, focus on my recovery and work one day at a time to have a really good life as a person who has a disease, an eating disorder. And so for me, that was a blessing, learning that, you know, it's step one, you know, powerless over the addiction, but you know, that's okay. Like I have it, it's never going away. And that's kind of liberating for me. You know, the 12 steps and the amazing sequencing of these steps have helped me change my approach to life, my thinking, and guided me a path out of that misery. You know, I was coming to the meetings and hearing your stories, both the struggles and the victories. And I started to begin early on that there was a path for me. You know, I started to believe. I didn't say I completely believed. And I love, you know, the wording in you know, in our program, came to believe. And somewhere in working the 12 steps with the sponsor in the order as described in the big book, things began to change. And, you know, I'm an addict. I wanted instant gratification. I wanted to like, I'm going to go to OA. I'm going to work the steps and everything's going to be better. And I wanted that instantaneous, you know, reward. And that's not how it happened. The change was not instantaneous, but it comes in small increments and it still comes if I'm willing to do the work. And the work is really hard and it's uncomfortable, but you know, you guys and the fellows before us promised that, you know, that the promises would materialize if we worked for them. And they didn't say the promises were going to come immediately. And they didn't prescribe how these changes were about to take place. They just said they would come if we worked for them. And, you know, I came to OA, I was 52 and I had close to four decades of misery around food and my body image. And, you know, truth be told, when I first started coming to meetings during the pandemic, I was eating during the meeting, screen off, couldn't stop eating, but I knew that I needed help, but I wasn't ready to get the help. I thought I was ready, but I really wasn't. So I just was eating through the meetings with my screen off. And I would occasionally take my laptop into the bathroom and purge. I mean, talk about a sad state of affairs. And I was like, I would be like turning my screen away, even though the video was off, because I was convinced that I was going to hit it at some point and people were going to see me eating. I had so many secrets and lies and, you know, and that's okay. You know, I was here. I was doing what I could at that time. And fortunately, those baby steps led to bigger steps, which led to bigger steps, which led to abstinence, you know, and working this program has helped me shine a light on my core and accept me and forgive myself for my missteps from way back when. And somehow in doing so, I was able to, you know, in having the ability, which happened through the steps, you know, the first, you know, one through four, looking at myself in terms of who I am in terms of what I've done and, you know, who I am as far as my history up till that point. And I mean, somehow in shining a light on my interior and my core and accepting me as I am and forgiving myself, it lends me the ability to be a lot more forgiving in my life. And to not expect so much of other people, because I've accepted that I'm imperfect and that that's okay. And now I don't expect everything around me, like the world, to be perfect and people around me to be perfect. And guess what? A life's a lot more enjoyable and fulfilling that way, because I'm not so hard on myself and I'm not so hard on everyone else. You know, so what is life like now? I have a very consistent and active daily spiritual practice. I start my day on my knees and I pray, and meditating is hard for me. And I just listen. And, you know, for me, when I was learning to, you know, seek what is my higher power's will for me, I really struggled with that. I was like, am I supposed to have like this experience where I'm supposed to know what God's will for me is? And I found it easier early on in recovery to just focus on what God's will wasn't for me. And God's will wasn't for me to eat all day, every day, to binge, to purge, to overexercise, and to be self-absorbed. So that was a good start. And now my listening has enhanced and expanded. And I just kind of take some time in the morning to connect myself to my higher power. And another big part of my day is committing to be of service. And that doesn't mean just being of service within this fellowship. I try to focus on being in service throughout my entire day. And that has really benefited me more than I could ever imagine. I also try to live in gratitude. I don't have a daily practice of writing a gratitude list, but the beautiful thing about recovery, it's lifelong and it's ongoing. So even though I'm not doing that now, maybe that's something that's going to be part of my future. I do know that my spiritual condition is directly related to my emotional balance. And the closer I am to my higher power, the less fear there is in my life. Interesting equation. Closer to the higher power, feeling safe and taken care of within myself, and not having fear about everything that I can't control in life, which is amazing. You know, when I'm at peace with food, I'm at peace with life. And that's a beautiful thing, because since I was a toddler, I was not at peace with food. So I had a pretty tormented life. And here I am at 53, and serenity for the first time is seeping in. You know, I have 580 days of abstinence for the first time in my life. And I'm pretty resourceful, and I've tried everything and I couldn't do it. I could not do it. And the bottom line is I couldn't do it alone. And I know we have these slogans, keep coming back, you know, together we get better. And when I first came in, I just thought, you know, whatever, but I really believe in those slogans now. And I live my life. You know, I've gone from a toxic slave mind to a mostly empowered mind. And I certainly have gone from someone who is constantly looking out there to fill a void in here. And it wasn't working. You know, more food, you know, more vacations, more boyfriends, more skinny. None of that worked. More house, more, you know, I was always like looking for something more and thinking that was the answer. And as many of you know, it was never the answer. Check, check, check. I still wasn't happy. You know, and I really feel truly happy today. And I'm happy with like the simpler things in life. You know, my life is pretty simple, and simple doesn't mean boring. I used to think simple was boring. I go to a lot of meetings. I do a lot of service. I'm really committed to my family and to the people that I love in my life. You know, I can say that I want to be the me that God wants me to be. And guess what? That me isn't binging or purging or starving or obsessing on food or thinking that my body sucks. Do I think I'm there yet? Absolutely not. But that's the beauty of recovery. It's one day at a time towards a recovery where there's no finish line. So it's a lifelong process. And I'm glad, because I'm competitive. And if there was a finish line, I'd want to win. And I would like knock down my opponents to beat them to the finish line. And that's not what recovery is all about. It's about locking arms with your fellows. And, you know, together we really do get better. And it's taught me to really have a connection, which I always have had a lot of friends, and I've always been in big groups and seemingly like one of the group, but I always was isolated and felt like an outsider. And OA has taught me not to feel like an outsider. And I'm not always second guessing what my role is or what people think of me, because I'm pretty much getting to be comfortable in my own skin. So people and their thoughts about me, which they're probably not even thinking about me, because that was all part of my, you know, thinking I'm so important. Like, it doesn't have a power over me anymore. It doesn't have the power that it used to. You know, and God created me with all I need, and I can access my truth and authenticity as long as I'm willing to let go of myself, will, and humbly ask for help. And humbly asking for help isn't really easy for someone that is very prideful and egocentric and used to doing things on their own. I mean, out of necessity, I had to take care of myself from very early on. So I felt like that was part of my makeup. So asking for help and being vulnerable it's not a behavior pattern consistent with my upbringing, but I'm learning. And I find that when I am vulnerable and when I expose that vulnerability, that good things happen and good things come and relationships are more authentic and whole. And, you know, we all come to these meetings, not because we want to highlight our abstinence or how long we've been in program or, you know, how great things are going for us. We come here because we're vulnerable and we're looking for help, despite where we are in our program. You know, if you're new or struggling or having trouble connecting to a higher power, that's okay. Just know that we're all rooting for you. And I know that because I really felt that people were rooting for me when I came to OA, and people that I didn't know, and people that lived on different parts of the world, because no one knows the struggle or the pain like we do. No one knows, you know, what it's like to wake up and be so obsessed about this tangible thing, food. And that's all we think about. And, you know, I think I was living my life that I wanted my tombstone to read, like, "Here lies Catherine. She was very skinny," because that's all that mattered to me in my life, was that I was really thin. And I did a lot of I was really thin for most of my adult life, sickly thin since I was like 19. And it was all fake. I was like starving and over-exercising and unhealthy. And I wasted so much time. But like this program also teaches us, you know, to not regret the past or, you know, look to close the door on it. You know, I am uniquely qualified to help someone with an eating disorder. And I'm uniquely qualified to help someone with anorexia or bulimia or, you know, compulsive overeating, because my disease have manifested in all those ways. And I'm grateful that my experience has led me to this special, unique qualification of mine to be of service to somebody that that I can possibly help save the years of pain that I experienced. And you know, moving forward, you know, I'm committed to OA. Like the old me would have been like, "Oh my God." Like when I first heard that—
3 minutes, Catherine.
Thank you so much. When I first heard that, you know, go to meetings, and when my sponsor told me to go to 90 meetings in 90 days and to go to meetings every day, I thought that sounded pathetic. I was like, I'm going to go to an OA meeting with a bunch of people I don't know and talk about like eating and food and, you know, every day. And now I live for these meetings. I mean, I'm up, 4:30 in the morning so I can be at the 5 o'clock meeting, or, you know, sometimes I get up at 4:55 for the 5 o'clock meeting. And I go to sometimes, or most of the time, more than one meeting a day. I start my day with the meeting and I end my day with the meeting. And I am so proud of that. I am advocating for myself in recovery, and I've never had the peace and serenity around food that I have now. And I want to touch a little bit on body image, because, you know, my abstinence kicked off, you know, pretty early on in my recovery. And my abstinence is no binging, no purging, no starving, and no under or over exercising. And I've had to do some really things that were uncomfortable, like putting down exercise for 7 months, because as soon as I started eating 3 meals a day and not binging or you know, starving, I started exercising like a crazy person. And, you know, I'm an addict, so I have to create these boundaries. But, you know, the one thing I will say is that the friendships I've made in this program are like no other. I've had the benefit of, you know, traveling pre-pandemic and when the pandemic died down a little bit to other states and connecting with people that I've only known through Zoom. And it really is like meeting up with family. You know, I've never met these people before, but when we got together, we met and we had coffee for 5 hours and just laughed and talked. So I will encourage you, if you're new to program, or you're having trouble with the fellowship part of program, like I did when I first came in, I couldn't even make phone calls. Be uncomfortable and make those calls and start connecting, because that's so much part of our recovery. And I want to wrap up also by saying that, you know, if you're struggling with any part of, you know, if your sponsor's saying make the call, or, you know, start doing a gratitude list, or take the suggestions, because every, you know, the only suggestions you pay for are the ones you don't take. And every suggestion I've taken has kind of taken me to another level of my serenity, peace, and my stepping away from my hysteria around food. And like I said about body image, I don't love my body, but I have neutrality around body. First, the neutrality around food came, and now I don't hate my body anymore, and I don't love my body, but I'm getting there. I'm kind of leaning towards liking my body. And for me, that's huge because, for you know, I'm 53 years old, and I spent a large part of my life, no matter what my body looked like, not being comfortable in my own skin. And I'm certainly comfortable in my own skin. I can't say that I'm loving my body, but I'm getting there. And I have faith that that there's a lot of progress to be made on that arena too. So thanks so much for listening. Thanks for coming to this meeting, and I hope to see you at other meetings. And once again, if you're new, struggling, or just coming back, cheers to you. And please know I, at least for one, am rooting for you. Take care.